I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, there was an article in People magazine several years ago, and it was an article about this gentleman by the name of Bob Thompson. He had sold his asphalt paving company up in Michigan for $422 million. Now, that was not the reason for this story. The reason for the story is that he gave $128 million away to his employees. For those with pensions, he gave $2,000 for every year worked. And for those without a pension, he gave between $1 and $2 million, depending upon how many years they had been there. As you might expect, the workers were just thrilled. Here they were expecting to lose their jobs, and now they are set for the rest of their lives. In a very modest manner, Bob said he wanted to share some of his good fortune with those that had helped him and that had been so loyal to him. This was one of those feel-good stories that we don't hear about very often in the news. Well, our reaction is often quite one of amazement. Wow, how could somebody be so generous? Or maybe we might say, well, he still has $300 million. No, this was truly a generous act toward employees that had absolutely no right to expect it. This was truly a strange sort of generosity. Bob is not your typical businessman, and this is not a conventional business practice. At best, it's unusual and eccentric. Such generosity does not happen very often to people. From our gospel reading today, from Matthew, we hear another story about generosity. Now, many of us who read this parable, we often think about, well, maybe those people at the end of the day, maybe they were the lazy ones. Maybe they were the ones laying around and not working. but even to be hired at the end of the day. Well, that was to ensure that these people received what they needed to survive. You see, this is not a story about fairness. It's a story about sustenance and what we need to live. And we still find this issue today, right here in America. My husband and I, we lived in a town called Katy, Texas for a while. It's a smaller town of about 15,000 people, but it's a suburb of Houston, Texas, a city of over 2 million people. Everybody in town knew that if you need to hire some muscle, some people to help you, you could drive into the old historic part of Katy, and there on the corner would be all these men just wanting work. You know, I am sure that many of these men didn't have full-time jobs, but they were there on the corner from sunup to sundown, hoping and praying that they would make a day's wage, enough to put food on the table for not only themselves, but for their families as well. In our reading, we hear about the hiring of all these workers. You see, it was done in Palestine during the grape harvest time. That was near the end of September, and when the crops were ready, they had to hurry and go out in the fields and harvest them because the rains were getting ready to start. And if they didn't gather the harvest, the crop would be ruined. And at that time, any worker would be welcome, whether it was for just 2 or even 1 hour of a day. The pay during this time for a day's work was 1 denarius. That was a wage that left absolutely no room for any extras. This was barely enough money to survive on. And these men, they were standing in the marketplace because it wasn't because they were lazy. It was because that was the hiring place. You could say it was the job store of Palestine. And the men came in the morning and they waited, hoping to be hired. Some waiting until 5 p.m., desperately seeking employment. You know, these men were the lowest class of workers in life. And life for them was always risky. Even slaves and servants, they could be assured of a daily meal. But these men were at the mercy of chance employment, and they lived on the risk of starvation every single day, as well as their families. Because if no one hired them for one day, they went hungry. For many of us, this is very hard to understand. But in the book, Santa Biblia, the Bible through Hispanic eyes, Justo Gonzalez notes that this parable, well, it can produce really different reactions when read to a typical middle-class audience in America, compared to a congregation that's full of our Hispanic brothers and sisters. Most people are perplexed that someone that works just an hour should be paid the same as somebody who worked a full day for 8 hours. It seems obviously unfair. Most of us wouldn't understand. The logic is so clear. Typical Americans cannot understand on what grounds one could argue the fairness of Jesus' approach. But when this scripture is read or studied by a congregation filled with Hispanic farm workers, then the story changes. The reaction is completely different. Gonzalez says, these people, they identify with the problems of the workers in the parable. They travel often in their trucks trying to find work with very little success. And if so, if they do find work, they're standing around waiting for the job to materialize. At the end of the parable, when the landlord pays the wages, this congregation breaks out in applause. When the laborers who worked for only 1 hour get a full day's pay, they are not confused by this parable at all. They understand that the people looking for work and who have been waiting for work, they need a day's wage to survive. They rejoice at the grace that is not contrary to justice, but that flows with justice. And they are paid what they need, rather than the wages that might have been paid had society's concept of justice prevailed. In this parable, Jesus shares with us about the generosity and the grace of God. The ultimate landowner, that's God. This generosity is given to the last hired laborers for a reason which is only known to him. Jesus does not explain. Jesus does not apologize for this unusual accounting system that lavishes the same wage on every single one that's hired, regardless of the amount of time that's logged. The only response the landowner says to the disgruntled first hired worker is, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with that which belongs to me?" Is God not allowed to do what God chooses with what belongs to God? Ponder that. I read again, is God not allowed to do what God chooses with what belongs to God? We find that God has a very unique way of doing things, which sometimes we may not understand, we may not even agree with. But this parable, this is all about God's overwhelming and amazing grace. In this parable, Jesus leaves us with a lot to think about. First, we know that we cannot work our way into heaven. No matter how many hours we work, we can never do enough to earn everlasting life. Whether we start at 6 in the morning or whether we start at 5 in the afternoon, we can never earn enough to fully fund a future in God's eternal kingdom. The second thing that Jesus teaches us is that we are all in need of God's forgiveness and grace. Every single one of us, God's kingdom, we can be grateful. So grateful that God chooses to be generous. Third, we learn too that in God's service, we do not all have the same work to do. Some of us can teach, some of us can sing, some of us can be church mice or help with the bulletins, some of us can help with repairs on the building, some of us can help the poor, can help the elderly, can help the children. Just like the workers in the vineyard, we all have different tasks to perform with different time frames, different abilities, and different energy levels. And finally, and perhaps the most exciting good news and most amazing thing is the democratic nature of God's rewards. No matter how menial our jobs or glorious, no matter if we start early or if we start late, we all are paid the same. In God's eyes, every one of us in this world is equal. At the end of the day, we're all paid the same and given the gift of forgiveness and everlasting life. As the ultimate landowner, God will use what belongs to the Creator for the good of all of us, even if we are sometimes unable to view the world through God's eyes. Thank God. Thank God that God is God, generous, merciful, loving, full of grace. Hallelujah and amen.